This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Spreading like fisting. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, episode 681. Make sure you check out all of our previous episodes, markingout.com. Also check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and wherever else you may be listening to your podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review. Buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com, and also give us a like over on Facebook. Give us a follow over on Twitter at Marking Out. Follow us on Instagram at MarkingOut11. Check us out on TikTok as well. But I am one of your hosts, Dave the Rave. And you can check me out on all social media platforms at DavidPTDPT. You can follow Chris at ChrisSweenDog over on Twitter and CMSweeney85 over on Instagram. Also check out Brandon at BTTG161. That being said, hey, how are you doing, Brandon?
Still not awesome as always, but I am getting there.
Getting there. That is better than not getting there.
Yeah. I'm on medications now. Antibiotics. Finally. And gimmicks. Yeah, so that sucks.
Good to hear that.
How about yourself? You sound a bit sick.
Nah, just congested. That's what running around at. Staying, not getting any sleep and staying out, trying to mingle until 2 a.m. and then waking up at 6:30 to just go will do to you.
So you went up to Boston last week and missed last week's episode.
Yes.
You took the Amtrak Acela. How was that from Penn Station all the way up to Beantown?
It was very, very easy. I actually got there like 2 hours ahead of schedule. Ahead of the departure, maybe even more, because I wasn't used to taking Amtrak. So I wanted to be there early.
You had an assigned train, though, right? Like, you couldn't hop on an earlier train?
No, it's an assigned train.
Right, okay.
It's an assigned train. Very, very easy. I got there, I had a bagel, well, I guess a breakfast sandwich, I had a coffee.
Which you can see on TikTok, by the way.
Yes. Check it out on TikTok. And you can check it out on Instagram Reels as well.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Big numbers on Instagram.
Yeah, it was very easy. Once I got on the train, I just listened to some Busted Open and relaxed.
You mean Marking Out, but okay.
Yeah, it was a straight shot. We had some stops and everything, but really it was a very easy ride. Very calming. I didn't have to worry about driving, didn't have to worry about security checks and everything from an airport. I definitely 100% would do that again. I may have to go to Maryland later on this year, so I may actually look into using Amtrak again for that. Yeah, I would definitely use that again. I just wouldn't probably do a long distance, like something like Florida for it, because that flying would be easier. But overall, it was just a very, very lax time. It was nice to just be on the train and just relax. And I had a lot of space, too. There's a lot of leg room. A lot of leg room.
Does it seem like a sort of vehicle that I would be comfortable in it, though?
Yeah. It was a very spacious. I think it was actually more. It was definitely more space provided compared to an airplane. For sure. It was, the legroom was a lot. I was able to fit my entire bag in front of me on the ground without even kicking it or anything like that.
Well.
it was a lot of, I mean, it takes a lot for me to reach the ground with my feet. But, yeah, no, it's very spacious. Very spacious. You just have to when you're having your luggage, you just toss it on yourself. So they have like a luggage rack that you could put it in. So I put mine in the luggage rack just because it wouldn't fit above me and I wasn't going to risk it. Plus it's heavy and I don't want to do that overhead lifting with something heavy. So, but got to Boston, and we had the APTA CSM 2024 conference, which is the nationwide conference for physical therapists. I was there representing NPTE Final Frontier, which is the prep course that I work for. And we had a booth over there, and it was incredible. A lot of networking, a lot of restless, sleepless nights. And it wasn't even as if I was drinking or anything or partying. It was staying in the hotel lobby till maybe midnight. And then you would hang out with a group of physical therapists that you want to network with. And then everybody would disperse, and you'd be like ready to go to sleep. But then another physical therapist or PTA would come on by that you recognize. Maybe it was a faculty member that you wanted to network with. And I would sit down with the faculty member for another 30 minutes and just talking, not really talking business too much, but just talking to get to know each other on a different level. Because when you're at these conferences, especially in the evening, most barriers and walls are down, where you can really get to know somebody for who they are, as opposed to in a lecture where you're limited. So it was just a lot of sleepless nights, which was unfortunate. That's one thing I really wanted to improve in, but I also realized that you can't. I mean, I was talking to Dr. Bhupinder Singh, who's the founder of Final Frontier, about it. And really, if you go to sleep early, even just to crash, even like if your body's telling you go to sleep, you can for sure. But then you may miss one of those encounters at midnight or 1 a.m. or whatever it may be. You just may miss one of those what is it, a meet cue?
No.
One of those meet cues.
No.
Where you just, huh?
No, it's not a meet cute. That's like when you're hooking up.
No, no, what is it
when
called?
When you're about to date them.
Serendipity? What is it called? No, no, no. I forgot the term.
isn't it serendipity? It's one of, it sounds like
no,
that.
No, no, no. They said it, they say it in the movie The Holiday. I forgot what it is. Where two actors end up meeting at, finally. It was so really beneficial. Unfortunately, there was one time really wanted to see a lecture that was being presented by it was a research that Dr. James Andrews was on, and he was speaking. And for those that don't know, Dr. James Andrews is like the surgeon, the orthopedic surgeon for every single celebrity and sports athlete.
If you're listening to this show and you watch pro wrestling, you should know that name 100%.
Yeah, one of my friends, Dr. F. Scott Feel, he actually did a road trip with me and Brandon from another conference. He actually had he ended up getting to meet Dr. Andrews in the hotel lobby in a quick like pass by kind of a moment. And I wish that I was able to meet him, but I did not. But I did get to meet a lot of physical therapists that I have been communicating with that I wanted to really badly network with. I got to go to a lot of different events in the evening that I normally have not been going to. So I'm trying to expand myself into that. I am realizing a lot about my leadership traits and what I have to improve in. I realize that time management I have to be better with at these conferences, especially in the evening when I want to meet so many people. I wasn't as strict as I should have been on my timing. I was a little bit lax where I had like four events that I wanted to make an appearance at, and I should have stayed at like one of them for like 15 minutes to 25 minutes, but I was there for probably 35 to 40, and that ended up cutting me down somewhere else. So I really have to get better with that, but
I believe the term, by the way, in The Holiday is a meet cute, but that's a romance thing. That's not like a work gimmick.
I thought that that was just if two
no, that's 100%. No, nope, nope. That's a romantic rom-com 101 sort of situation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
How'd you two meet? What's your meet cute?
Yeah,
get married. Yeah, it's a married gimmick, like a romantic comedy.
Well, you never know.
The Holiday is a romantic comedy, by the way.
You know, yes, which is a great romantic comedy, too. But you also never know. Maybe I will meet my wife at one of these conferences, so maybe it can be a meet cue. But for this occurrence, it was not a meet cue.
Did you do anything historical? When we were in Philadelphia, I know it's like a lot more packed in that we're able to get to the sites and stuff.
No, I
no Quincy Market, no Faneuil Hall.
Nope, nothing. I didn't get
The Constitution Museum?
No, nothing. I was at the Boston Convention Center and the Omni Hotel and then the Boston Convention Center. I did go to the Museum of Science, but we got there very late. We got there we ended up getting there with maybe 5 minutes to spare, and it kind of worked out because as everybody was leaving, I was kind of going in with my friends. And the way I saw it was I could have bailed on it and not went. But on the other hand, I paid for this ticket. And also, if everybody is leaving at that time, everybody has to walk past me, walk past my friends. So it gives me an opportunity that if there was somebody in there, they have to walk past me, which ends up with me meeting them and getting to say hi to them and talk to them for a little bit. So I realized that that was for the benefit, that it was worth me going. And it actually worked out because we ended up taking a shuttle bus after that night from there to go back to the hotel. And on the bus, I got recognized by, it was kind of funny, I got recognized by a lot of professionals because of my social media networking. And I was on the shuttle bus and I got recognized by somebody that I've been interacting with. And we ended up just talking and everything, and that led to me going to this thing called CSM After Dark, which was really incredible, enlightening. It was more so a off-the-cuff conversation about everything within the field, which was really cool and interesting. After that, ended up meeting a few other people that I would have never met that have been kind of on my meet list of people that I want to meet. So overall, the entire experience was incredible. I loved it. I loved being at the booth. We had so many people stop on by the booth to say hi to me, take pictures with me, thank me, ask me questions about the program. It's really a humbling experience, and I'm very, very grateful for the experience and thankful to be where I'm at. And yeah, I am.
Did you at least see Fenway or TD Garden at all?
Nada.
Freedom Trail? Nada.
Maybe from afar, I waved to it. No.
Paul Revere, the British are coming?
No, nothing.
Boston Harbor?
I saw it from a distance.
Oh, that's the Children's Museum over there, I think.
Yeah, I don't think I saw any of that.
Where's the Science Museum?
By the harbor.
Oh yeah,
I was by the harbor.
If you saw the harbor. You saw the harbor then.
Yeah, I saw the harbor, but you know, it's.
You guys should have all went to the Sam Adams Brewery tour.
It's so tough to fit everything in there. I only got there, so I got there on Tuesday, and I had I could have done a little bit more, but it was tough to do more because we also tried to get a few things set up for the booth, and then
no
the next
cheers.
Day, no, didn't even get to go to Cheers. It was gonna
wasted trip.
It was gonna be it was gonna be Tuesday night that we were gonna go to Cheers.
Oh man!
But apparently it was cross town, and it just wouldn't have been worth it because I had to be up early the next day for a class at 8 a.m. Which was, I had a class on Wednesday from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock on leadership. It was called Ignite Your Team to Achieve Your Dreams, which was a really cool lecture from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And then from right at 5:30, I had a meeting to get to, or it was till 6 actually. And then I had to get to a meeting at 5:30, and then I had to get to another meeting, a ceremony at 6, at 7:30. For the Macmillan lecture, which was put on by Dr. Judith Deutsch. And then they had the specialty and proficiency ceremony where we had a lot of people from the team being honored. We had a lot of people from the team being presenting research as well, which was really nice. But I
hope your next trip isn't as jam-packed.
You know, I hope not, because my next trip is in March, and we are going to Disney. So, I definitely don't anticipate it being as jam-packed as this. I do have potentially future conferences and meetups to go to, potentially in St. Louis, Virginia, Kansas City, and maybe one more place, maybe Oakland later on this year.
Got to get the barbecue if you go to Kansas City.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I hear. But yeah, what about you, Brandon? How was your week?
Well, I'm just still mainly recovering from COVID, but I finally pre-ordered WWE 2K24. And since I'm not going to be here, I'm also going to be in Disney. The day it comes out, by the way, it's like the early access. And I asked the dude at GameStop, it's apparently GameStop policy, where they only hold the pre-order for 48 hours.
What?
So I would lose... Yeah, it's so goofy, and I would lose all the pre-order bonus stuff, and that was 100% not going to be a thing, because I'm not paying $20 extra for something that I pre-ordered.
No.
And then it was brought to my attention that I could maybe pre-order it online, and the only reason why I didn't think about doing that was because the last time I did that, it was I had to pay for shipping.
That's lame.
And I went and looked it up, and it was free shipping, so I called to ask if I could cancel it and everything, and the guy was like, You got to do it in the store, and I'll be able to do all of that for you. So I went back in, and he knew that I wasn't going to be there, and I was worried about losing out on the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he wouldn't have suggested that from the start, but I was able to switch everything over, and it's just going to be sent to my house, and it comes when it comes, and I'll play it when I get back from Florida. So at least I'm guaranteed to have the pre-order bonus. So.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that, because I no way in hell was I going to want to give up having Superstar Billy Graham, Dusty Rhodes, Stardust, and Undashing Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
But we found out the full roster without the DLC right now this week. For most of this is pretty disappointing. Because it seems like it's pretty copy and paste from 2K23,
mm-hmm.
even down to some people's like attires. Like Gargano's not updated, the Creeds are not updated, Drew McIntyre's not updated. I feel like he, of all people, should have been in an updated attire.
That's lame.
So it's really goofy. And I'm happy with like the new superstars or the returning superstars that we're getting at least. Like, we're getting Bronson Reed, we're getting Brooks Jensen and Josh Briggs, we're getting Stax, Chelsea Green's going to be in it, Duke Hudson, George the Animal Steel, I spoke about that last week, he's part of the showcase with Ricky Steamboat and Macho Man,
mm-hmm.
Kathy Kelly's randomly a manager in it, I don't know why, but whatever, she's going to be playable, I guess, as a manager, until somebody hacks the game and they get her as a playable character. Isla mm-hmm. Dawn's going to be finally in it. Gallus. I have been wanting Gallus for years. And I thought for sure Wolfgang would have been in it in 2K19 when Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate were both in it. And that didn't happen. And I've just been waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, the three of them are in it. So I'm very happy about that. Ken Shamrock's going to be in it. I believe he's... maybe part of the showcase. I'm not 100% sure. Maxine's going to be playable. Muhammad Ali, I mentioned the other week as well. Paul Bearer's back in the game as a manager. And I think that's going to be cool, because if people are able to do what they were able to do last year, then I feel like no matter what version of Paul Bearer it is, it could still be Undertaker version or like 1998 version of Paul Bearer.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even probably if they're able to do anything with Paul Bearer, they could probably make him into Percy Pringle as well.
That'd be pretty cool.
Sangha is in it. So we have Indus Shear together, finally. And ultimately, Tegan Knox is in it again. Thea Hale's making her debut. I'm happy. I spoke about it last week with The Fiend and Bray Wyatt. He's part of the showcase. William Regal's back. They took out Jean-Paul Levesque. That sucks. But William Regal's back. Teddy Long is a manager. And I think this is the first like actual platform game in a long time that we've had, or no, maybe even ever, that we had all four faces of Foley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we've ever had that. Mick Foley is going to be in as a manager, so I think that's pretty cool. And really, ultimately, I'm just hoping that all the attires from last year's My Faction will end up being secondary alternative attires.
Mm-hmm.
I have very low expectations on this, but I can only have my fingers crossed so much on this game.
I guess we're going to find out by the time you get back from Florida, you know?
Well, I think by next week we should know a lot more. Mm-hmm. I think by the next episode we should know DLC too, but I don't know about that 100%, but...
Yeah.
But really, that's all I had this week, and I feel like we can move right on over to some Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Nitro. Yes, kicking off with a matchup. Drew McIntyre picking up the victory over Cody Rhodes. This match was a nice way to start off Monday Night Raw, I thought.
Fans went bananas for this.
Yeah, really got Monday Night Raw off to a right start.
I thought it was a really good match. It was two main event caliber talents just tearing down the house in the opening contest.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Jimmy Uso show up, which distracted Cody. Still went to go in for that crossroads, and then Solo Sikoa zipped up, hoodie up, hit that Samoan spike on Cody behind the ref's back. And then McIntyre got the win off of that. And I thought it was going to be a no contest or something. Even before the interference, I just went into this thinking, like, no way can either of them win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
But with the outside interference, I'm fine with McIntyre getting that victory.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that victory was great for McIntyre, and it only alludes a little bit more to the Bloodline involvement with Cody Rhodes, how it's not just Cody versus Roman Reigns, it's the entire Bloodline.
We and also got a I, new...
Yeah.
Go on.
No, go for it.
We got a new sort of playback feature with Pat McAfee doing like football reviews during this and other matches.
Yeah, I think that's
cool to add to that. We saw Seth Rollins show up later on when Cody was in the trainer's office, and he didn't say a word. But it's just one of those, like, you know what the deal is sort of situations. And he said it last week, basically, I have your back.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, we saw Sami Zayn, where he said he has to stop with all the McIntyre stuff. He needs to find his own path to WrestleMania. We're almost at WrestleMania. And he said at WrestleMania, he will be a champion. I don't know what championship he thinks he's going to be winning at WrestleMania or something, but I would really like to see Sami Zayn and WWE as a whole give us Sami Zayn versus Ilya Dragunov at WrestleMania.
I would totally be down for that.
But I think, like, not... Like, we see somebody, like a big surprise or something at Stand and Deliver, and then night two we see Ilya Dragunov versus Sami Zayn. I think that'd be so cool. We saw Shinsuke Nakamura call Sami Zayn out later in a video format. So that match got set up for next week.
Yeah.
We also had an Andrade vignette, which I thought was cool that we saw a La Sombra mask. But he spoke about his family, his wife, and he defines his destiny, and his destiny right now is in WWE.
Yeah, so, and I thought that his destiny being in WWE was really awesome. I like the fact that I like this presentation of Andrade. I really liked it.
But I I mean, obviously, we're probably going to first see him wrestle after the Elimination Chamber, given that it's literally tomorrow. It's definitely going to be after the Chamber. But yeah. I hope it's soon. And I hope we get somewhere with Andrade soon.
Yeah, so. I totally agree with you. Next up, you had Raquel Rodriguez win the Last Chance Battle Royal to qualify for the Elimination Chamber. This matchup, I feel like it was expected that Raquel Rodriguez was going to win.
Once she made her big return, yes.
Yeah.
Going into this match, I thought for sure was... like, this match, I think, was designed to get Indy Hartwell on that premium live event, and that didn't happen. I know SmackDown, we're recording on Thursday right now, so SmackDown, they could always add something in there. Well, we'll see the Way versus Kabuki Warriors or something added.
Yeah.
Not sure if that's going to happen, but we saw the Way in this, Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, Natty and Tegan Knox, Maxine, Zaya Lee was in this. Valhalla, Ivy Nile, B-Fab wrestled. She's just a manager in 2K24, unfortunately. Scarlett's playable. I feel like they should both be playable.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense that B-Fab's not playable.
I'm almost certain, if I'm not mistaken, I think she had a move set in 2K23 too and still ended up as a manager only.
That's crazy.
So I really don't get that. Electra Lopez was in this, Shayna Baszler, Mia Yim, Zoe Stark, Zelina Vega, Katana Chance was in it. Kaden Carter was not in this match. I don't know if she was sick or not. The Unholy Union were both in this. I liked that Royal Rumble spot between Natty and Tegan, where they basically did the same thing, but reverse with the elimination. I liked Zelina Vega and Electra Lopez going at each other, where Lopez took her out, and then Mia Yim eliminated Electra Lopez, and that led to Zelina Vega and Electra Lopez brawling with each other to the back.
Yeah.
And then it came down to who we thought was Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Mia Yim, and Raquel Rodriguez. Later found out that Chelsea Green was in there second to last. But once Raquel returned, it seemed obvious. And I don't have a problem with that. I'm happy for her.
No. Yeah. Definitely no problem for me with all of that. I'm happy that she's in this position. And I think she's going to bring a lot to that Elimination Chamber. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. But after that, we had a sit-down with Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax. I find it interesting that they did not mention Nia Jax was born in Australia.
Yeah, this was always surprising news to me that I probably always forget. But yeah.
But it was what I expected it to be. I thought it was good back and forth between the two of them. And then later on, we saw Becky Lynch speak about the Elimination Chamber match. And she spoke about how her versus Rhea Ripley has been building for years. And she said she's the best she's ever been. But everyone else in the Elimination Chamber are also the best that they've ever been, which is a good, very good line that puts literally all of them over.
Mm-hmm.
And Liv Morgan came out and explained why she should be the one facing Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. Raquel came out, Naomi, Tiffany Stratton, Bianca Belair. It turned into a brawl, which I should have expected a segment like this. I was not expecting it. I should have been. But I think it was necessary and the most like unexpected part of this was it ended with Nia Jax on top, cleaning house. Yeah. And it made her, I think, look incredibly strong to go up against Rhea Ripley in what I can only assume is going to be the main event of Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you. I think that's exactly where she's headed.
So kudos to them.
Yeah. Next up, you had R-Truth backstage with Jack... outside with Jackie Redmond doing an interview where Jackie just wanted to pick the brain of R-Truth and find out how he's doing after everything that's taking place. And I love this entire story. It was very similar to where R-Truth broke down his involvement with Judgment Day from childbirth. And this was on that level where R-Truth just broke down his involvement with Judgment Day and how he's aligned himself with D-Generation X, which we know as DIY. Just hilarious. What's your take on it?
I thought it was, yeah, it was funny. And it felt like a piece you would find on like 2020 or like the news where they're just walking and talking. Maybe a little bit of Robert Stack with Unsolved Mysteries. A little bit.
Nah.
So I thought that was funny. After that, we had Michael Chandler call out Conor McGregor. I think there's a UFC and WWE deal with the arena where they were in Anaheim. So they had that. I couldn't care less about UFC. If it brings in new fans, it brings in new fans.
Yeah.
But Conor McGregor has said some pretty negative things about pro wrestling in the past. So.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
After that, we saw the Judgment Day pick up the victory over DIY, The Miz, and R-Truth. The crowd was really, really wanting R-Truth in this match. And they were really into this match. I thought it was all enjoyable. And I really don't think you get 8-man tag matches like that often. Like, I don't feel like there was a lull in the match at all.
Yeah. I agree with you. I don't think there was a lull at all. I think that it was very action packed, and it was actually a long match too.
Yeah, and Truth almost won it, but Damian Priest shut it down. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh made sure that Ciampa couldn't break it up, and Priest got that victory for the team.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we saw Chad Gable pick up the victory over Ivar. Both of them had promos earlier in the night, but I thought this was a great match. From the start, there was like that rolling kick that Chad Gable hit to Ivar earlier on in the match, I think it was, to knock him off the top rope to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was dope. Ivar powerbombed Chad Gable onto the barricade. The match, it literally just kept going harder and harder. And the series of matches that they put on together have been so good and so entertaining.
Yeah.
That stalling German suplex was fantastic.
I totally agree with you. And I think that Chad Gable stood out in this just as much as Ivar stood out. I think that I think both of them have such great limits, high limits.
I have been wanting for Sheamus to be the one that dethrones Gunther for that final championship victory for Sheamus.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really can be Chad Gable. And then Sheamus could go on and find his way to the Intercontinental Championship through that somehow.
Yeah.
I would love to see at WrestleMania, Chad Gable and Gunther.
I don't know. Just because we already seen it, I don't know if I would want to see it.
I feel like we heard Chad Gable say he's going to do it. So I would like some follow-up there.
I would like to see a fatal four-way of Ivar.
Anything. I'll take a gauntlet match or anything. Anything.
So I want a fatal four-way of Gunther, Ivar, Reed, and Gable.
But whatever the outcome is, I want whoever wins to be either Gunther or somebody pinning Gunther.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think that would be the most meaningful victory. He's had the title for a crazy amount of time right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, well, talking about Gunther, main event of the evening, he picked up the victory over Jey Uso to retain the Intercontinental Championship.
We saw New Day cut a promo on behalf of Jey Uso earlier and then cut a promo on Imperium. They have a match next week. It's going to be New Day versus Imperium in a street fight. But I thought, as far as this main event goes, I thought this was a great match. I thought it was the perfect main event. I liked, even before the match started, the interaction that Gunther had with Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
When Pat was dancing to Jay's theme song, he's doing the hand thing that they do in the crowd. And then Gunther sees him, and then he sees that Gunther sees him, And he stops.
Yeah, he's just
dead in his track.
Like Gunther gives him like a hand wave, like the like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I thought that was great. But Jay hit a bunch of spears in this match. My favorite spear that he hit was the one that he did on the apron. I thought that was dope. Yeah. But Jimmy Uso showed up just right when Jay could have won. And he starts ringing the bell. Gunther was able to chop the hell out of Jay from behind.
I like the reveal. I like the reveal of this too. It was just him. You saw somebody with a black hoodie over his head, and they're just ringing the bell, ringing the bell, ringing the bell, and then it's Uso just flipping the hood up.
There are so many things going on in that picture of Jimmy being revealed. You have the two dudes from Mattel, and then on the left you have, I think it was bull riding or something that was going to be in the same arena. Something like that. They had a bull rider there, I think.
Uh-huh.
I just thought it was such a wild picture to see. But, yeah, Gunther chopped Jay from behind and went for the sleeper. And Jay actually stayed in it for a bit.
Yeah.
And he took Jimmy out, went to the top rope, and Gunther got his knees up and rolled Jay up to win. And then Jimmy got in there and beat Jay down. So, I think... This was, by the way, a great episode of Monday Night Raw. And exactly what I think a go-home show should be, mm-hmm. even though the main event pushes towards WrestleMania, in my opinion. It obviously has no push towards the pay-per-view, the PLE.
Yeah.
And I assume that they made this the main event to put Gunther over big time because I don't think he's allowed to go to Australia.
Huh.
I think he's applying for his U.S. citizenship, so he has to stay in the country.
Oh, that's true.
So that puts him over big time without being on the card. It furthers what I only can assume is going to be Jay versus Jimmy at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think that's going to be what's going to be taking place, and I'm all for it. But
yeah,
that was Monday Night Raw. Let's get on to some NXT, kicking off with Oba Femi defending successfully his championship against Alexis King.
Who got a lot more offense in than I was expecting.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting both wrestlers to already be in the ring too.
Yeah, but it was a pre-taped episode, so they're able to do that, I guess.
True.
But Robert Stone showed up during this, and Alexis King took him out. Robert Stone, by the way, him and Von Wagner, not being in last year's game was infuriating. Not being in this year's game, as of right now, infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
Because they should have 100% been in last year, should have been in this year.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Oba Femi retains, as you would have assumed for that to happen.
Oh, yeah. It had to.
We had a segment with the Wolf Dogs where they spoke about their victory. They spoke about how they're champions or whatever. And they still were trying to one-up one another. And Chase, you came out to challenge them. Andre Chase mentioned that the D'Angelos promised them a match, and they're not taking no for an answer. And then Axiom and Nathan Fraser came out. Nathan Fraser, word for word, quoting his mentor, Seth Rollins, to interrupt it and say that they want a title shot. And that the agreement with Chase U is null and void, since the D'Angelo family are no longer the champions. And then Ava came out and made it a number one contenders match for later on in the night, where we saw Chase U, Duke Hudson, and Andre Chase pick up the victory over Axiom and Nathan Fraser to become number one contenders. I thought the match itself was decent.
Yeah, there was some good sportsmanship. Good.
Yeah, I like the good sportsmanship spots between the teams, but despite the segment from earlier.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like we would get that. But I think the coolest part of this match was the move that Duke Hudson did. It was like that Samoan drop and senton to Nathan Fraser and Axiom at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great. And I liked how Andre Chase reversed the pin from Nathan Fraser to pick up the victory there.
Yeah, I agree with
bigger you. Thing, though. Bigger thing was Gallows and Anderson showing up and beating everyone down.
Actually, yeah, they...
Not backstage, that was in the ring.
Yeah, no, that was like... Yeah, they came out, beat everybody down. I was definitely not expecting them to come on down.
And then they said that they're there for the titles. And we got another one of those vignettes that we saw a few weeks ago, every week at this point. But it said, men deny their truth. I will be a mirror to it. And now people are thinking, with the inclusion of Gallows and Anderson being in NXT, they think that this mystery vignette could be for Tama Tonga to come in and team with the Good Brothers.
Oh. That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
And then also later on we saw, yeah, it would be. I would definitely mark out for that. But later on we saw the D'Angelos, and Tony had a meeting with Stax and Adriana, and he said that they're going to be focusing, they're not going to be focused on getting the titles back right now. They're going to focus on going in a new direction where he's in charge, no community vote, and if you have a problem with it, come to me and make it known. So we're going to get a totally, I think, different version of the D'Angelos coming soon.
Yeah, I think something's going to evolve with them. It's going to be interesting to see what direction they're going to end up going in with that. But next up, you had Roxanne Perez pick up the victory over Ren Sinclair.
Yeah, Roxanne's pissed off. Yeah. Ren was just in her way.
Yep.
And we saw them spend a lot of time outside of the ring. But the time that they spent outside the ring made sense. That's all I want in a match. If you're outside the ring, make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And Roxanne Perez, she hit Pop Rocks on Ren Sinclair to get the pinfall. And then she's like, nah, screw this. She let go of the pin and tapped Ren Sinclair out, which was a warning to Lyra Valkyria, basically.
Yeah.
We saw
Briggs picking up the victory over Jensen, which was really, I don't know. It seemed like he was trying to teach him a lesson throughout the entire match.
Yeah, very much so. Also, Brooks Jensen used a knockoff of Journey's Separate Ways. We saw a dark match where he used the actual song, and I think it would have been cool that they were able to use that, but I get it.
Uh-huh.
But I just wish this match didn't go back-to-back with Roxanne Perez. Because even though it makes sense that they were brawling outside the ring, it's back-to-back.
Yeah.
So I wish that was separated. But I think they put on a very good match between the two of them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought that it was a very good match. I thought that I was very entertained by all of it. Next up, you had Dijak and Joe Gacy. Dijak has Joe Gacy locked away.
This was a crazy segment.
Yeah, something I liked with this was where Joe Gacy went right up to Dijak in the glass panel or whatever panel, and he's blowing and huffing and puffing, and he created a smiley face with his exhalation. I thought that was cool.
And you had Luca Crucifino there trying to talk Dijak out of it since it's false imprisonment. But this was out there as heck. I don't know where. I mean, it could lead to a straitjacket match or something. I don't know what it's going to lead to. I don't know whether it's that roadblock or stand and deliver, but we'll find out in the coming weeks. We had Carmelo Hayes go to the barbershop, and he said that he's all alone, but he's not lonely. And he knows he didn't snake anyone out of their spot or get too big for his boots. All he wanted to do was elevate Trick because they were boys.
Yeah.
And Trick, he sees it as Trick turning on him because he was the one that was supposed to be going for that main championship.
Yeah, I mean, what he a kept different on way to how Trick was side-eyeing him the entire time, too.
It's such a like different way to remember things.
Yeah, he's like paranoid.
And Ilya Dragunov, I don't think it's paranoia. I think it's like, well, I mean, he thinks he's right when he's obviously wrong.
Yeah, but the way that he was saying how he kept on noticing him looking at him and side-eyeing him and everything like that, looking at the championship.
Yeah. But he laid out a challenge to Ilya, and Ilya responded later on, called him a coward, especially since he tried to pin everything on him that it was him who did it.
Yeah.
So this gets set up for Roadblock. If he meets Ilya face-to-face next week in the ring. So I think we'll see that. I still hope that come stand and deliver. It's going to be Trick versus Mello.
Yeah.
In some sort of street fight capacity or something like that.
Yeah.
And we get that big name for stand and deliver against Ilya Dragunov.
I think we definitely will. But next up, you had JC Jane pick up the victory over Ariana Grace. Big thing coming out of this is JC Jane may not have Thea Hale as her favorite.
Yeah, this, first of all, came about because Ariana Grace started to give advice to Thea Hale about Riley Osborne after she took JC's advice that JC gave her for Valentine's Day wrong. And JC got pissed off at that, and it said, which painted Ariana Grace kind of like a face here, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because we've seen her be the heel. But JC at one point distracted the referee and wanted Thea Hale to hit Ariana Grace, and she didn't do it. And Jasmine Nix moves, she could move out of the way, she does it. So, and then, like you said, it might not be Thea Hale's favorite anymore. Thea went to go raise her arm after the match, and she raised it instead.
Yeah, Thea Hale did not like that at all.
We also saw Thea Hale have that awkward interaction. Chase, you, I spoke about the match already. They came out for their match right after this.
Yeah.
And that was an awkward interaction between her and Chase Yu.
Yep.
And then we saw Fallon Henley and Thea Hale have a heart-to-heart, both being down in the dumps about their situations.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe we'll see some sort of tag team set up between them. Also goofy about 2K24, Fallon Henley's in the game. Kiana James is not, and she's wearing the matching gear that she had with Kiana James.
Mm-hmm.
Make it make sense. Unless she's DLC, which still in that point doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm.
We saw Ridge Holland interviewed, where he was asked about the gauntlet match from last week and how he ended up hitting all of them with a chair. Which I feel like it to me sounded like they were putting the blame on the match not being finished on him. But they like outnumbered him first. And he said that they smashed his leg in a chair last month. And when he goes to defend himself, people judge him. Which I feel like they're painting him to be wrong. Like, he's in the right in that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he said that he'll address the WWE Universe next week and apologize. But I still feel like he was in the right. So, no need to apologize to me.
No. Apology, not necessary. Next up, we had Lash Legend pick up the victory over Kalani Jordan. This match was awesome. I think that this match was probably my favorite for the entire night. I think both Kalani and Lash showed how much potential they both have. From
in ring wise,
to
though,
in ring, huh?
In ring wise, I feel like Kalani Jordan was like way ahead of what we've seen from Lash Legend. So I didn't fully like the outcome, but Lash, I think, looked really good in that like sort of David versus Goliath aspect.
Yeah.
And I like seeing more move from her. So I thought that was a good part of this match. But we saw Jakara get involved in front of the referee, which I thought was, even though it was blocked, probably could have been a DQ still. But that didn't happen. Yeah. And Lash Legend picks up the victory. We saw Kiana James and Izzy Dame show up, and they tried to take Kalani Jordan out, but Kalani Jordan escaped. So I like how all that tied together. Main event was Lyra Valkyria putting the title on the line against Shotzi Blackheart, but it unfortunately ended in a no contest because Shotzi tore her ACL during this.
Yeah, very...
Absolutely sucks.
Yeah, very upsetting part. I mean, there was so much to take away with this, too. I mean, they were putting on a good match, and then Shotzi went for her, like, front face.
It was just a DDT off the apron, and she immediately grabbed her knee when she landed.
DDT off of the apron, where she is the only person that goes off the apron, not the opponent. But yeah, the way that she landed, it just, her knee gave way to her weight coming onto it, and she went down, and right away they went to commercial break as it was planned. But then during the commercial break, they had picture in the picture, and it was really interesting to see everything break down in picture, because you saw the concern on Shotzi's face. Lyra. Well, both of them. Shotzi first, and then you see her being attended to. Then you see Lyra concerned going on over there. And then you see her try to stand up, and then she wants to fight, and then she just can't. She just goes right back down, and she starts crying. And then she gets help to the back of the backstage, and then it comes back from the commercial break. So it was just interesting to see everything break down without having commentary explain what is taking place. But it comes back, and then Ava comes out to say how everybody came here for a main event. Everybody came here for a matchup, and they are going to get a matchup. And the first person to come out is going to be that person with the chance, as now it is open. It is an open challenge, and Lash Legend answers that challenge, which is great. I mean, she was just in the previous matchup, and I thought that was awesome. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it was interesting to run with that like that, and I wonder how quickly it took for them in real time, since all of this could have been edited. How did they just, like, boom, this is out, you're in.
Yeah, something that...
I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
And they showed Roxanne Perez finding out that there was an open challenge that she missed, and she was pissed off.
Yeah, that's one of...
And I think that was great.
Yeah, and how she was coming out of the shower. It's not like she was... It's not like she was standing in gorilla waiting for an opportunity. Yeah. She was
which
in the
that's what commentary mentioned. Like, Lash Legend was just in that match. She obviously didn't go far.
Yeah, she was still
able
in her
to
gear
just be out there.
Yeah,
yeah,
she was
I
still
thought
in
that
her...
was great, and it continued to let Lash Legend shine. But yeah, it's just such an unfortunate situation. Shotzi was supposed to be in one of the chamber qualifying matches last week.
Yeah, hopefully, but, you know, just really sad.
Yeah.
But
that was NXT. Moving over to SmackDown, it opened up with Tiffany Stratton picking up the victory over Liv Morgan. Bianca Belair sat ringside for this, and I thought the match was decent. I'm happy that Tiffany Stratton got the win going into the Elimination Chamber. She also took out Bianca Belair during the match, which is why Liv Morgan lost the match, because Liv ended up pinning Tiffany Stratton, but Bianca Belair got up on the apron, distracted the referee, and then Tiffany Stratton pushed Liv Morgan into Bianca Belair and got the victory over that. We saw Ashanti the Adonis and Cedric Alexander trying on clothing for Cedric. They had a promo last week, I guess, to establish them as a team. That didn't air on SmackDown. It was on Twitter only. But they aired something now where Cedric was getting his outfit picked out to match Ashanti. So I think it should be interesting to see them as a tag team. Kind of was coming off as a Maximum Male Models of sorts. But I'm sure they're not going for that at all. We saw the Bloodline backstage where Jimmy was laughing about what he did on Monday Night Raw. And Roman questioned who sent him out there, and Jimmy right away blames Paul Heyman. And Roman laughs it off, and he's like, you're stooging Paul right away. It was me who orchestrated everything. I called for it. And then they celebrated it. And I could swear to God Paul Heyman said that Grayson Waller showed up, but we didn't see that. And then later on they showed A-Town Down Under with Logan Paul making fun of, well, with Kevin Owens also. And they were making fun of Kevin Owens back and forth. And Paul Heyman showed up there and said that Roman Reigns wanted to speak to him. So maybe I misunderstood that earlier part with Grayson Waller being there already. But Roman Reigns said he had something to tell Grayson Waller for his ears only. And Grayson Waller, he's going to be hosting Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins on the Grayson Waller Effect at the Elimination Chamber, so I could only assume that he's going to want maybe some sort of impromptu match or something to take place between the two teams. After that, we saw Bron Breakker pick up the victory over Dante Chen. I kind of wish Baron Corbin was with Bron Breakker since they're champions. But I thought it was interesting to have Dante Chen in this moment, which I think was a big moment for him as well. Obviously, Bron Breakker was going to rip him apart. But I think they both did a good job at showcasing Bron Breakker here. We saw backstage the LWO were talking to each other. And Electra Lopez said that it's pretty sad watching them because they're basically dead without Rey Mysterio. And then Legado del Fantasma showed up and jumped them from behind. And I'm glad that we got storyline furthered between them. I assume we're going to get a match next week. I'm not 100% sure. We saw British Strong Style pick up the victory over the Judgment Day, JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio. And I definitely think they needed this victory going into the premium live event to face the tag team champions, that being Finn Balor and Damian Priest. And I enjoyed getting some NXT UK action in here. It was chaotic at times, but the referee was at least counting when the illegal partners were in the ring. But after the match, Finn Balor and Damian Priest came out to brawl with the British Strong Style. I don't know why I said the. But British Strong Style got the upper hand. Makes them look like they can potentially beat the Judgment Day. Not going to happen, though. They showed Dakota Kai backstage in pain being helped into the trainer's room, which it seems like that's going to play into her turning on Bayley. Bayley went and checked on her, and Dakota Kai said it was damage control that jumped her. And I think this is more of a reason why we really, really need a Hell in a Cell at WrestleMania in the main event. This, to me, is the second storyline going on. That's the biggest storyline. And it's, to me, I mean, it seems like Dakota Kai is orchestrating all of that against Bayley. So you got to keep damage control out of the ring, you get a Hell in a Cell. Even though that hasn't stopped anybody, really. But Bayley and Dakota Kai are going to be facing the Kabuki Warriors next week. So maybe that's when Dakota Kai will turn on Bayley. We saw AOP pick up the victory over Street Profits. I'm glad that AOP got this victory. I liked seeing Lashley, B-Fab, Paul Ellering, Karrion Kross, and Scarlett all ringside out there. And there were a few times where it looked like Angelo Dawkins was going to lose the match, but he kept fighting. And Scarlett and Karrion Kross eventually got involved, which prompted for B-Fab and Bobby Lashley to jump in. Karrion Kross took out Bobby Lashley's arm. And AOP was able to take advantage of all that to pick up the victory. In the main event, I'm not 100% sure if it was a DQ or if it was a DQ with Drew McIntyre winning or a no contest given how it ended. But we saw Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley making fun of CM Punk earlier. We also saw Bobby Lashley make fun of Drew McIntyre. And then McIntyre went and checked on Bobby Lashley after that attack. And I don't know. I mean, at this point, maybe Lashley could not be cleared to compete. And we'll find that out at the event itself. But he was involved later on, so who knows. But Logan Paul sat on commentary for this. Kevin Owens showed up during the match to do commentary. And I liked the match. I think my favorite part of this match was that guillotine that Drew McIntyre did to LA Knight under the ring. I thought that was cool. But McIntyre threw LA Knight into Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens fought back. And then he got shoved into Logan Paul, and the four of them brawled. Bobby Lashley joined in, and it looked like he was going to end everything on top, but Drew McIntyre showed up out of nowhere hitting that Claymore. And just when you think SmackDown was done, out of nowhere again was an RKO from Randy Orton to actually close SmackDown. So I thought this was a decent go-home show. Not as good as Monday Night Raw, but I feel like that's because it was taped. That was SmackDown. Moving to the Elimination Chamber predictions taking place in Perth, Australia at Optus Stadium. We got, I'm going to say right now, if the Way versus Kabuki Warriors does get announced, I'm going to say Kabuki Warriors retain the titles.
Huh. Yeah, I'm going to go with Kabuki Warriors for that one.
We have the Judgment Day taking on New Catch Republic. I'm still calling them British Strong Style. But I'm going to say the Judgment Day retains the tag team championships.
I'm going to agree. Judgment Day retains the championships. Singles match, Women's World Championship on the line, Rhea Ripley versus Nia Jax. I'm going Rhea Ripley.
A chance for a match.
Huh?
Oh, I thought you were doing the chamber match.
No, I'm going Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, I'm going to say Rhea Ripley as well. For the chance to face Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania or Nia Jax, you got Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Naomi, Raquel Rodriguez, and Tiffany Stratton in the Elimination Chamber match. It's got to be Becky Lynch.
100%. Yeah, I guess Becky Lynch.
And then for a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, inside the Elimination Chamber, you got Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Logan Paul, Bobby Lashley, and L.A. Knight. Drew McIntyre.
I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre.
Has to be. So,
yeah, I'm going
those back. Are our predictions for Elimination Chamber. Going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
Yo, this is New Jack, and you're listening to Marking Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out, episode 681. Moving over to AEW Rampage from last week, we saw Sammy Guevara pick up the victory over Jeff Hardy in a no disqualification match. And I don't really know why this match happened. I don't remember if there was a setup for this match to even take place, let alone for it to be a no DQ, but it seemed out of nowhere to me. I don't think the match was bad, though, but we saw some spots. Obviously, Sammy Guevara hit that nice Swanton bomb off the ladder through the table to Jeff Hardy, but then Jeff Hardy got injured. And that was the big thing from last week to where people were like, obviously it's going to get cut. That didn't get cut, though. Sammy Guevara landed right on Jeff Hardy's face off of a shooting star press, and they somehow continued the match. Jeff Hardy was busted open. He was moving very slowly after that. I don't know why you would let that continue after something like that. We know that the Hardy Boys flipped off Sammy Guevara, but that didn't air on television. That was cut from TV, and it just randomly cut to Sammy in the ring by himself. And then Hobbs showed up and attacked Sammy Guevara. Backstage, we saw Ruby Soho, where they had Saraya and Harley come up to Ruby and basically say that they forgive her. And Ruby was like, I'm not sorry. And I knew all along that you were doing these bad things. Which I don't know how that makes sense. She knew Saraya was doing all these bad things and being the person to set up Angelo Parker. I don't understand how that makes sense, how she stood by Saraya, but she said she was hoping that it would all be because Saraya knew what was best for her. But I feel like she looks like an idiot going along with everything. I don't know why they would do that for her. But later on, Angelo Parker requested her time, and he gave her a Valentine's Day gift and a flower. And I'll speak more about their, I guess, date later. We saw Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs beat Enhancement Talents. This was because it was Texas. Dustin and the Von Erichs, that's the whole story. Texas. The Enhancement Talents, to me, gave off, we sold tickets to wrestle here. That they were not at all ready to be on television. Most of them. I think one of the guys, I forget what his name One of them looked like they were belonging on television. The other two, it was not a pretty match. After that, Queen Aminata picked up the victory over Anna Jay, which was the best thing from Rampage. And it's funny because I 100% went into this knowing that Anna Jay was winning this, because up until this match, Queen Aminata just got so much in during her matches, and then she would lose every single time, and it's something that I've been complaining about. So I'm very, very happy to have been wrong about this in thinking that Anna Jay was going to win. This was Queen Aminata's first TV victory in AEW, and like I said, that's all I've been asking for. And now she's officially signed to AEW. I thought that happened a few months ago. But she got the graphic. She's part of AEW now. And hopefully we'll get victories for Queen Aminata coming off of this victory. Anna Jay kind of has fallen, unfortunately. But I think she looked great in this. And I like the mutual respect afterwards. It builds both of them up. I thought this was great. And then we move on to the main event, where the Bang Bang Scissor Gang picked up the victory over Dark Order and Triple J. I don't know why the team of Triple J and the Dark Order, it didn't make sense to me. If I'm not mistaken, they're heels and faces on the same team. And this match, it just began with like no entrances, as if I'm watching some sort of best of compilation. And I don't know if this is really the best use of the Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed. They're both tag team champions. So I don't necessarily understand what this was doing. There were some enjoyable moments in this match, but it was pretty all over the place. And not really something I would want to see on TV. Moving over to AEW Collision, we saw the Blackpool Combat Club pick up the victory over FTR. I said AEW Collision. Collision didn't happen this week. It was Dynamite. But Dynamite opened with that, and I thought it was a really good match. Did it need to go to the outside, though? I don't think it did. I did like that counter that Claudio did to FTR. FTR went to suplex him, and he got behind them and hit both of them with a belly-to-back suplex. I thought that was a nice spot. But the referee just stopped caring about this match. Like, it was all of a sudden the rules just like stopped. And it was very clear once you heard Justin Roberts announcing the time limits and stuff that this was going to go to a draw. Even though Hangman and Swerve literally just did that 2 weeks ago. And I think that makes that outcome less meaningful. But FTR and the Blackpool Combat Club brawled afterwards. A pull-apart brawl. And then backstage, FTR said they should do it again at AEW Revolution. And the Blackpool Combat Club showed up. They were held back. So that match gets made for Revolution. It seems like it's going to be the Blackpool Combat Club picking up that victory. But we saw Orange Cassidy pick up the victory over Mike Bennett. Orange Cassidy attacked Matt Taven and Mike Bennett before the bell. Roderick Strong got involved in the actual match, and Mike Bennett low-blowed Orange Cassidy. I did go into this thinking it was a title match because Orange Cassidy always defends the title. I don't even remember if I thought that last week's was as well, but it wouldn't have made sense if he defended the title, because the whole thing is Roderick Strong getting that title shot. And I'm glad commentary mentioned how Mike Bennett wouldn't want this match to end so quickly because he wants to damage Orange Cassidy for Roderick Strong to get that advantage. And after the match, we saw the Undisputed Kingdom attack him. And then Oklahoma's own Jake Hager made the save. And if you asked me, I would have 100% said that Jake Hager is a heel. So that was confusing. Backstage, Angelo Parker and Ruby Soho were talking about their date. She very, very embarrassingly thought that he got them a private car, which to me at this point, I don't know the difference between that and a Lyft. It seems like the same sort of thing, but He said, I got a lift for us. This isn't our car. Who's in the car? It turned out to be Ric Flair, who then mumbled about Sting's final match and how he's upset that he's not involved. He thought he'd be more involved in Sting's final match. And he said, I'm going to go do something to change it. And he goes and knocks on the door of the Young Bucks. Turns on Sting before the match even starts, seemingly joining the Elite. I thought that was a terrible segment. And then later on, we heard from Darby Allin. We heard from Sting. I think for the most part, this should have been done last week, especially that big moment in the ring with Darby. The reason why I feel like maybe it didn't happen, Sting mentioned he lost his father, which is very unfortunate. I wanted more from this, but it's very unfortunate. My condolences to Sting and his family. After that, Daniel Garcia was interviewed and he was asked about his match with Edge, but then Tony said that Edge is injured and now Daniel Garcia is going to be the one that gets the title shot at Revolution. And Garcia said the next time he faces Edge, he will be holding that TNT championship. And he went to address Christian, but the patriarchy interrupted. Christian said that he doesn't think the match should happen at Revolution because Daniel Garcia is just not ready for him. And then Christian spoke about Daniel Garcia's dead alcoholic father. And he challenged Christian to come down to the ring. He sent Nick Wayne, Nick got. He sent Killswitch and Matt Menard showed up from behind. Hits him with the steel chair. I like the ending of this segment with Matt Menard coming out like that. Because Matt Menard, he got attacked the other week as well. We saw Tony Storm pick up a victory over Sydney Winnell, or Winnell. Tony, the big thing from this was that she used the Venus de Milo to pick up the victory. Deonna Purrazzo's finisher. You move on to the next match. Deonna Purrazzo picked up the victory over Madison Rayne. And I'm glad it wasn't a squash match, but Madison Rayne did not look good in this match at all. She had landed on her head at one point. I don't know what that was about. I hope she's fine. And ultimately, I hope that we see Deonna Purrazzo walk out of Revolution as champion. But Toni Storm tried to attack Deonna Purrazzo afterwards, which she blocked at first. But then Toni locked in her break a leg, which we just saw Deonna Purrazzo use on Madison Rayne. Sort of like a tit for tat sort of situation between the two of them. After that, Wardlow, he came out and spoke about how far he's fallen and the promo I thought was kind of goofy. He's definitely not wrong on how badly he's been booked, but mentioning CM Punk, he took credit for CM Punk being injured now. And I just find that so goofy and kind of counterproductive for Wardlow. Like, fine, you could talk about MJF like that, but to claim, like, we saw where CM Punk got injured. I don't think he needed to be mentioned in that promo at all. Outside of that, I thought it was a good promo, but again, it's just goofy because it's all true. In regards to how poorly booked Wardlow has been. On Rampage, speaking of promos, Brian Cage cut a really bad promo about Hook. And he's so bothered by Hook, which to me makes him look small. And then we go to the main event, which I thought this was a joke. I really do not understand this match setup at all. I don't understand how that makes any sense. Why would Samoa Joe want to tag with Swerve and Brian Cage? I don't get that, but they picked up the victory over Rob Van Dam, Hook, and Hangman Adam Page. We saw Hook and Samoa Joe open the match, a throwback to when they wrestled. I would have liked to have seen the big spot from this match be Hook and Brian Cage. And when they, because of everything that Brian Cage said in his promo, But when they actually squared up in this match, it was like nothing. It wasn't even a big deal. And I thought the match overall, I thought was decent. Rob Van Dam, I feel like, did most of the work here. But I feel like nothing was really special from this main event. I was fully expecting Hook to beat Brian Cage because of that. This is what I felt like this whole match was built around. Obviously, there's the triple threat as well. But the main focus was, for me, it was at least Hook and Brian Cage. But Samoa Joe made Rob Van Dam pass out. And I don't hate that Samoa Joe won. He's the champion.
They also did something where it looked like Hangman was hurt. That is, there's conflicting reports, but I'm going to choose to believe that it is just an angle. So, good thing he's not hurt, if that's the case.
That's AEW. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
I'm Louie Anderson, and survey says Brandon shout-outs.
The first shout-out goes to Kings from Queens, the Run DMC story. It was released on Peacock earlier this month, and I enjoyed it. It's a three-part docuseries. I think it's cool that they have interviews from people who have been around from the beginning of their careers before they even had careers. And I think if you're a fan of Run DMC or just a fan of hip hop in general, it's something that you should be checking out. I also watched a movie on Hulu called Cat Person. Have you heard of this movie?
No.
It's described as a psychological thriller. It's not typically a movie I would be into. The trailer kind of pushes it. It starts off kind of like a rom-com. And then it gets super twisted. And it stars Emilia Jones, Nicholas Braun, Geraldine Viswanathan's in it as well. But Jones plays a college student that works at a movie theater and ends up going on a beyond awkward date with Braun's character, and a bunch of other stuff happens, and it's actually based on a short story that was published in The New Yorker in 2017. And the ending of the movie, I don't think, was part of the actual short story that was published, where people say that it starts to like fall off a little bit. But the whole movie, I think it did make me uncomfortable, and it's literally supposed to do that. So I think it did its job for me, at least. So I would say check it out on Hulu if you want to pass the time and do something, watch a movie. My last shout out, I'm like beyond annoyed with this last thing, but instead of giving an anti shout out to True TV, I'm going to give a shout out to Tacoma FD, because I think this show was one of the best shows in recent years, and True TV is apparently moving away from scripted television. So that really sucks. And if you've never heard me talk about, or you've never heard of this show before, it's by the Broken Lizard guys who did Super Troopers, Beer Fest, and all those other movies. They're firefighters in Tacoma. Hilarity ensues, and it's just goofy that True TV is canceling it, because when they aired the show on Netflix, it apparently did very well on Netflix. So maybe Netflix can pick it up. Maybe they won't. If we never see another episode of Tacoma FD, that really, really sucks. But I really do hope, because I thought it was such a good show.
Yeah, I've always wanted to watch it, but haven't yet.
Yeah, so check it out. It's on Netflix. Those are my shout-outs. Now it's time for our That is right, our mark out moment of the week. What do you got?
Mine was traveling back from Boston. We ended up passing by the WWE headquarters in Stamford, Connecticut. That was really cool. I haven't seen the new one.
It's huge.
Yeah, it is a big campus. And then I had one of my friends, she texted me a picture of the headquarters as well. The outside with the championship belt in the at the entrance.
I would love to see that in person. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So
you can see, see the clip of him pulling into the train station on our TikTok, by the way.
Yeah, check it out. I thought it was really awesome. And then me and one of my friends, we usually hit a wrestling pose at conferences. And this one for Boston, we ended up going with the John Cena. You can't see me. So yeah, definitely I marked out for that. What about you, Brandon?
Well, Monday Night Raw, like I mentioned earlier, was in Anaheim, California, and Chelsea Green was in that Last Chance Battle Royal. She came out wearing custom Mickey ears. So I popped for that big time.
Yeah, that was cool.
Obviously, Disneyland is in Anaheim, California, so I thought that was a cool time.
Yeah, I'm going to be going there at some point. I think in 2 years hopefully. I'll be there.
It would be nice to get there someday. It would be nice to get to every Disney park at some point, but I don't foresee that happening. Also popped, Vanilla Ice posted a video this week where he spoke about purchasing Eddie Guerrero's lowrider, which was just an unexpected video to see. And he was very carny in how he talked the guy down on the price. Like, neither of them knew there was any attachment to Eddie Guerrero when they were haggling the price or whatever. But he never said that. He never said how he found out that it was Eddie's lowrider. And the only actual proof is that Eddie's on a magazine cover with it. And he also said that Eddie used to take it to the ring with him, and Eddie worked with the Von Erichs, which is not true. I'm pretty sure he just like looked up Guerrero and confused Eddie with Chavo working That's on funny. The Iron Claw movie. But then Chavo Guerrero took to Twitter and he's like, "Brother, Eddie Guerrero didn't actually own that lowrider, and I own the lowrider that Eddie used to come out on television with."
Ooh.
So
juicy.
Yeah, so it was a big... But either way, Vanilla Ice is... I don't even know if Vanilla Ice responded or if he's going to ever, but it's still... He's a huge like car collector, and he's still got a really good deal regardless of whether or not it was somebody's or not.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he wouldn't even care if it was Eddie's at that point. But I thought it was cool that Chavo was able to clap back and be like, "No, here's the actual lowrider that Eddie used to use." So
yeah, I agree.
I thought that was cool. But that's
the
markout moment of the week. Markout moments. That is episode 681. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Hopefully I will be so much better next week.
Yes.
But you could follow us on Twitter at Markin' Out, BTTG161 on both platforms, Chris Sweendog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT, Facebook.com/Markin' Out, YouTube.com/Markin' Out11. You can listen to episodes of Markin' Out there now. You could follow us on Instagram at Markin' Out11, ProWrestlingTees.com/Markin' Out, at Markin' Out on TikTok, where for some reason, a video of a giraffe from Animal Kingdom has like 70,000 views. I don't know why that happened.
Crazy.
You could also also check out episodes on Apple Podcasts, where you could rate, review, and subscribe, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, MarkinOut.com, and we wish you
the best luck in your future endeavors.
Have a fantastic week.